where you have the typical sitting around a table with loved ones, and you thank, you maybe are thanking the Lord for what has happened in your life. You're thanking him for just getting you through this life, and you're sharing with others maybe the ups and downs of maybe illnesses or victories, things that you've done for the Lord or things that he's done for you. I pray that we would have that attitude of thankfulness not only this week, but throughout all weeks. And there are several verses in the scriptures that share with us the truth that since we have trusted Christ as Savior, we have the ability to flee from evil out of gratitude and love for Jesus Christ. We can run from sin, but how do we do that best? So today we're going to talk about the gratitude that we have because we are thankful for the victory that we can have through choosing to walk with Jesus in our life. Let's pray, and then let's dive into the passages we have today. Lord, we thank you that you are a God who cares so much about us. You have left. You already left everything that you had as the Son, Jesus Christ. And you came and you lived a perfect life and you lived in victory. And yet you still died on the cross because of our sin. And yet you rose again from the dead, showing once again victory over sin in the grave. And so I pray that as we look towards thanking you, that we wouldn't forget about the fact that we can only have victory over sin because of our trust in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans 8:37 says, "Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." And I want to just talk about the fact that Romans chapter 8 is actually talking about our position. Ultimately, we have victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So if you've trusted Christ as Savior, that means you've put the full weight of your sin in his hands that he dealt with at the cross, and you are trusting him only for salvation, then we have an ultimate perspective that we have already victoriously won over sin in our lives. That is already declared about us in Romans chapter 8. But you and I know that each and every day that you wake up, you have a decision to make. Am I going to live for myself, or am I going to live for the Lord Jesus Christ who bought me? You have that choice every single morning. And so what we're going to talk about is that we can be thankful because we can choose, because of what Jesus Christ has done for us, we can choose to live for him. So running takes fitness and the willingness to feel pain, the need for extra nutrition, and the ability to endure. We can know for sure in the resurrection of Jesus Christ through faith we have ultimate victory in heaven. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, which is the resurrection chapter, says because of Jesus' resurrection, it says, "But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Once again, ultimate victory that we have because of him. But today I want to talk about the fact that we can have victory over sin in the present by choosing to walk in the Spirit. And what an awesome thing that God in his grace has given us help so that when we are walking according to his ways, we can stand firm under temptation. One of my favorite verses, you've heard me quote it before, is 1 Corinthians 10:13, because I am so thankful that this verse is here. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man." You're looking at your life, you're looking at your day-to-day circumstances, and you're thinking, man, this person doesn't have to deal with this. And they don't have this problem with sin. And I want to tell you, that is so self-centered when we look at this verse. Because this verse says, "No temptation has overtaken you, such as is common to man." Every person is going through something. And temptation is knocking at every person's door every single day. there are certain people in this room that you think, well, Homer probably never deals with temptation. Lillian probably never deals with temptation. There are many people that we think, they've got it all together. Pastor Joe doesn't deal with temptation. I want to tell you this morning, the temptations that you face are common. They're common to every single person in this room. Everybody's got something they're going through. But God is faithful, the verse goes on to say, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. So that means that temptation that is common to every single person around you, God is so faithful that he's not going to allow you to be tempted beyond what you personally are able to endure. So you may be looking at someone else and thinking their temptation's a little bit easier, but God is saying to you through this passage of Scripture that even the temptations that you think are beyond what other people are going through, even though you think that your temptation is too much for you, God has given you the strength and will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. It goes on to say, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. God has already won the victory over sin. You can too. How can we practically experience victory over sin? And I want to give you four ways that we can experience victory over sin. First of all is by becoming spiritually fit. Let this be your New Year's resolution, that you take these four things and you start applying them now before the New Year's even starts, so that you don't have to forget about it in January when everything is crazy and you're trying to keep up with the latest fads and trends. Start this now. Become spiritually fit. 2 Corinthians 3:18. So just to the right a little bit of 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 3:18 says this. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, verse 16, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, 2 Corinthians 3:18, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Fitness transforms us into the image of the Lord. As we spiritually apply ourselves in our lives, we are able to be transformed closer and closer to the image of God, giving thanks in the victory that begins to be established through our consistent walk with the Lord. We need a consistent walk with the Lord. If there's anything in life that we need, it's consistency. The ability to do what you say you're going to do and to do it time and time and time again without growing weary. And even if that weariness comes, to continue to do it after that. We with an unveiled face. It's interesting, look at the passages in 2 Corinthians, that Paul is not talking about veils out of nowhere, where he's just like, hey, let's talk about a veil now. I don't think guys normally just throw out veils like that. What he's talking about here is something that the readers of 1 Corinthians would have understood, because he was referring to the Old Testament. And when Moses would come down off the mountain from his time being in the presence of God, when God would pass along the law to him, he had this face-to-face, this presence of God that was with him, and he did not want people to see that this glory that he would have and see and be shown on his face would diminish. He didn't want people to see that, and so he wore a veil over his face. And have you ever charged up those glow stars? Maybe a glow bouncy ball? Something like that, where as you think of those things, the glow-in-the-dark stars and the bouncy balls, this is a deep message today. You can understand how Moses' time with God would be like. When he would come down off the mountain, that charge of the presence of God and the glory of God would diminish, and he would glow a little bit less and a little bit less and a little bit less over time. And Paul is saying, you're like, what does this have to do with our lives? Well, Paul's saying to the Corinthians that it is not how our life is to be in Christ, because we always have the presence of God because he's living inside of us. Instead of the exact opposite, is true in the life of a believer. The expected growth of a believer, expected multiple times because it doesn't always happen. The expected life of a believer is that we can transform closer and closer and continue to grow more and more transformed into the glory that is in Jesus Christ as the days go on. So how can we transform ever closer into the glory of God? How are we walking by the Spirit of God? We are working out our faith. Are we deepening in him in all of it? Romans 12, 1 and 2. Romans 12, 1 and 2. So this transformation, I don't have it in my notes, but I want to just quickly jump into that. Transformation is talking about transformeo. It's the phrase that means you're basically becoming something. Think about it like a metamorphosis, like a caterpillar turning into a butterfly. You're changing into something of much more glory. It's a transformation. So Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Verse 2, "that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." In order to be spiritually fit, we have to cleanse our mind of junk and keep dwelling on the things of the Lord. This helps us to know what God really wants us to do. It helps us to think clearly. That's what Romans 12:2 is saying. It helps us as we follow the Lord, as we present our bodies as living sacrifices to him, we start to see a little more clearly. Have you experienced that in your life? Sure. Have you experienced that in your life? Yes. Because as we understand what God wants us to do and we do it, it becomes second nature to us where we start to see, okay, if God wanted me to do this and I did it and this was the result and it was joyous and it was glorious and it was an awesome thing, then we can continue to walk in that. Because you start to experience and know by experience. That's always the word that is used in the New Testament. When know and discerning is used, it's talking about a experience with. In order to be spiritually fit, we have to cleanse our mind of junk and dwell on the things of the Lord. And it allows us to think clearly. I'm thankful as a believer I can experience victory over sin by becoming spiritually fit, but also by developing endurance. Even when you're spiritually fit, you still have to have the mind of endurance to keep going and to keep moving forward. James 1, verse 12. James 1, verse 12. All right, once again, James is written to believers. It's written to encourage them in their walk with the Lord and to get them to really consider what's happening in their lives. James chapter 1 and verse 12 says, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him." Talking about the judgment seat of Christ, where he will receive rewards based on the fact that he has endured sin. Blessed is the man who endures under temptation. The question I have for you this morning is this. Are you experiencing temptation? Do you go through different and often temptations in your life? You can just think this in your mind. Do you endure during them or do you struggle in it? Do you struggle in it day after day? It can be so difficult and frustrating to deal with temptation after temptation and fail every time. Do we have to fail, though? No. If we are told that the man is blessed who endures, there has to be a way to endure. It has to be. A way to say no to the temptation. When he is approved, when he has been approved at the judgment seat of Christ, another statement in that verse, He gets approved for enduring the temptation in the right attitude and when the right motives, and with the right motives, he will receive the crown of life. And I want to say right here now, the crown of life is not referring to salvation, but did you know that the life is going to be a lot more fulfilling in this life here on earth? And it's going to be filled with hardcore living if you are enduring temptation. If you're saying no to temptations in your life is going to be rather exciting. It's going to be filled with the fact that since you endured temptation and said no to this, you can say yes to this, which is much more fulfilling. Even though it's hard, you can say yes to something. Ooh. I want to say right here now, it's amazing to me to think of a restraint and the patience that the Lord Jesus Christ had time after time. He was tempted, he was tried. Every time you endure a temptation, Does it make the next one easier? No. Over time, it can be easier and easier to give in to temptation that keeps presenting itself to you over and over and over again. It can be. Therefore, it takes that much more endurance to hold to the Word of God and its standards. If you look at Hebrews 12:3 with me, it says Hebrews James, so just back a couple of pages, 12:3. It really is, this is a great passage if you're looking at some people in your life that are a little bit hypocritical. They say one thing and they do another. Hebrews 12:1-3 is a great passage on that because it says in that passage in verse 2, looking unto Jesus, he's the author, he's the perfecter of our faith. If we look to other believers, if we look to other people in our life to encourage us and to make us feel like, hey, you know, every Christian has it all together, then we're looking in the wrong place. But if we look to Jesus Christ, we will be able to keep moving forward. 12:3 says, "For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls." Going on to verse 4, "You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin." You have not resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. It goes on to talk about some of the things that we're learning in endurance are the exact training that God wants us to go through in order to bring us to a greater understanding and a greater understanding of how much he loves us in the midst of every struggle and every possibility. God, as our good Father, gives us challenges for our benefits to allow us to experience victory. If we miss the opportunity to have victory, we miss the opportunity to have growth in our lives. Don't miss those opportunities. 1 John 5:4-5 talks about victory again. Listen closely to this one. I encourage you to come out tonight. Pastor Nate's going to talk a little bit more about this verse and many other verses. 1 John 5:4, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." Our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So, in reality, the same faith that saves us is the same faith that allows us to overcome the temptations in our life. It's the same faith that we live our life with. I'm thankful as a believer I can experience victory over sin by becoming spiritually fit, developing endurance, but also trusting your training. 1 Peter 5:8-10. This is your pastor speaking, along with the Word of God, emphasizing it. 1 Peter 5:8, "Be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, prowls, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world." Sounds a little bit like 1 Corinthians 10:13. "But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen and settle you." Let me tell you about the day I almost lost my job. Almost got fired. All right. Now, I do want you to know I view my boss as my... I do not view my boss as my adversary, the devil prowling around. Or even a roaring lion, but that day he very well could have devoured me, my boss. And I was washing floors in the mill side of the sugar factory. I'd been trained when it came to washing floors that I needed to wear PPE. Shift leader in the factory was a little bit annoyed by us. He said, just go out there and wash the floors. You don't need to worry about that extra stuff. Me and my neglect of what I knew was right listened to him, and as I was washing floors, the plant manager above the shift manager ended up conveniently giving a tour to the boss above him. Think CEO. Think bigwig. I neglected what I knew was right and was reprimanded, embarrassed, and sadly, I had scarred my reputation with the plant manager as well. Always listen to your training. Always listen to your training, even when it seems to be tedious. If I had, I would not have jeopardized the reputation of my overseer. Same is true in our lives. The training that you've been given in Scripture, as you open up the Word of God, and I hope you are opening up the Word of God away from church. As you open up the Word of God, it'll teach you, it'll train you certain things, in certain things. And those things that we learn, we should never set aside as thinking they're just too small, because who really is our boss? It's God himself. He's the one who wrote the training manual. And the last thing he wants you to do is skip a step that he's put in there for a reason. God has given every word of Scripture. 2 Timothy 3:16, he's given every single word in Scripture for our benefit and our training. The more that we persist in living by the Spirit and obeying the words of the Lord, the more joy we'll have as we understand clearly the will that God has worked in our life. When it comes to trusting our training, in the verse in 1 Peter 5:8 through 10, we are made aware of the fact that we are always to be vigilant and always to be sober. Sober means to have a clear mind and clear thinking in order to make good decisions, no matter what's going on around you. And being vigilant is the ability to be able to process everything around you, the circumstances, in a way that you can quickly react and effectively react to the situations that all arise. That's why training is so important, because it allows you to be sober and it allows you to be vigilant, to have a clear mind, but also to use that mind with the circumstances you're given. Your enemy's walking around, and he is ready to pounce. Ready to stop you in your tracks. He is like a roaring lion, and if we're not prepared for his attacks at all times, we can be caught off guard and found an easy target. We're trained as soldiers of Christ to resist the schemes of the devil. No matter what tries to draw us into his traps, we must always resist him. We need to be steadfast in the faith. We need to know that the reason we're told to remain fast and to stay sober and vigilant is because at some point in our life, just like our brothers and sisters in Christ around us, there's going to be an attack on our lives. And God in his grace will take those circumstances as we endure them. And he's going to use them not only to solidify the need for our training, but we'll take that obedience to the training and he will perfect, establish, strengthen and settle us. Who doesn't want to be matured? Who doesn't want to be established in life? Who doesn't want to be settled in their spirits, settled in their souls, that they can walk through the next week without wondering, am I doing this thing right or not? Endure temptation. Watch out for your training and trust it. God is right there with us in his grace. And then we also need to consume the right nutrition. 1 Peter 2:2. Therefore, laying aside all malice, 1 Peter 2:1, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. So you're laying it aside. That's a conscious effort, a conscious decision to lay it aside. As newborn babes, desire. So this is also something you do. Desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, if you know God is gracious to you in your life, then you should long for that pure milk of the word. It takes a believer a decision to say no, to lay aside certain things. Every Wednesday, it seems like on our way back from school, the kids are screaming at the top of their lungs, "Ice cream, ice cream, ice cream," as we drive by Mooville. And they know it is not hard for Dad to stop and get ice cream. But Brittany and I are aware of how if they eat ice cream before dinner, they will not touch their food, because on Wednesday nights, we have dinner a little earlier because of Awana, because of prayer meeting, those things. So the problem is true in our lives as well. If we fill ourselves with anger, malice, deceit, or even things that we think are okay that aren't the best thing, we will not be craving the things of the Lord, because we'll be filled. We'll be filled with something. But the scriptures command us to lay aside things, put them off, give them a rest for a moment, and focus on what is truly going to be the right thing to fill yourself with. I know it can be difficult to convince yourself that you need the pure milk of the Word of God more than you need the tasty delights of sin. But as we move forward in our lives, the more that we can put off in the strength of the Spirit, and through our will being conformed to the will of God, the more that we will begin to see that we have room now in our lives for the Word of God. We have room now to fill our souls with spiritual nutrition and nourishment. Matthew 4:4 was so important to me. When I was growing up, I was sitting probably right here in this seat, listening to Pastor Dan preach. Matthew 4:4. So important, because in my youth group devotional book, I don't know if they still have them, but they had a section for sermon notes. And above those sermon notes was listed Matthew 4:4, and it reads, "For man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes out of the mouth of God." And so when I was sitting there in my seat in the front row of Vermontville Bible Church, the nutrition we can gain and live by all can come directly from the scriptures. I was eating it up. I was writing things down. We need nothing else for life and godliness than a hunger to hear and understand the Word of God for ourselves. When we fill ourselves with the proper nutrition, we're able to grow. And we need to develop a craving for the Word. Now, a lot of people, and a lot of times we struggle with knowing whether we should eat better or exercise more. Eat better or exercise more. In the Christian life, it's always, always, always important to eat good so that we can work out our salvation. It always starts with eating the right nutrition, and then we can serve. Sometimes we flip it on end, and we try to serve without giving the proper nutrition to our souls, because we're making up for what we didn't put in that was right. We put in junk. So we feel like serving is going to help us work it off. Why do we fall into the pattern of craving junk food instead of what will really help in your spiritual life? What are we talking about? It's not life itself, but instead the quality of life. It's not salvation we're talking about this morning. It's talking about the fact that we have victory over sin and we can choose righteousness. We can choose to live for the Lord. If you want a good quality of life, you make sure what you're putting into your spiritual body is the very thing that the Lord prescribes. And speaking very clearly to this is Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, if you would turn there with me. Ephesians 5:18. This is just a side note that Paul was getting at. And he says, "And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." What is he talking about in that passage? He's talking about the fact that, yes, you shouldn't get drunk, ever. But what is drunkenness? It's being controlled by something. And what Paul is saying in this passage is, don't be controlled by this. Instead, be controlled by the Spirit. We have the option in our lives to be controlled by something. Whether it's a desire for fame, a desire to be able to be lazy at the end of the day, a desire for your husband or your wife or your spouse, we have a desire. So what are you willing to control? What are you allowing to control you when when you're grieving? What are you allowing to control you when you're with friends? What are you allowing to control you when you're on vacation? What are you allowing? What am I allowing? What are we allowing to control us at work? What is controlling us? Make the choice to allow yourself to be controlled by the Spirit of God and claim victory over the sin in your life. I'm thankful as a believer I can experience victory over sin by becoming spiritually fit, developing endurance, trusting your training, and consuming the right nutrition. So the questions today, Mike, if you could advance one slide. Do you have the degree of fitness to continue to build spiritual muscle? They're all ones, okay? So number one, are you enduring through the temptations that strike you daily? Number one, in what areas must you rely on the training that the scriptures give you? And number one, what are you consuming for quality of life? Very good questions, and I hope that you wouldn't stop this morning in your seat right now, but that you go home and think about these things. Think about what the Lord has done so that you can live for him. I'm going to sing a special this morning. I was scheduled for a special music earlier, but I figured I kind of like to wrap up music. I kind of like to wrap up messages with songs. So this morning I'm going to sing the song Survivor. This song was actually recorded and sang in a prison. And very interesting, if you want to look it up later, it's Zach Williams, Survivor. And it just talks about the fact that when I was a lost soul searching, you were the ground beneath my feet. You were the ground beneath my feet. Your love came crashing in and pulled me out of the fire. I'm a survivor.
Stones on my back. I thought I had fallen too far from your grace, but you came and showed me the way. When I was a lost soul searching, you were the ground beneath my feet. When I was a blind man begging, you were the eyes so I could see. When the smoke was rising up, you were the air that I could breathe. You gave me hope, you gave me something to believe. Now alive and born again, rescued from the grip of sin. God, your love came crashing in and pulled me out of the fire. I'm a survivor. Now all I can see, fields of your grace, wherever I run, you're leading the way. You shook the shackles off my feet. I found redemption on my knees. You gave me hope, you gave me something to believe. Now I'm alive and born again, rescued from the grip of sin. God, your love came crashing in and pulled me out of God, you're my fighter. You make me a survivor. You're my God, you're my fighter. You make me a survivor. Rescued from the grip of sin, God, your love came crashing in and pulled me out of the fire. I'm a survivor.
Let's pray and then be dismissed. Lord, we thank you so much for your grace, the fact that you did pull us from the fire. But Lord, as we see the fields of your grace, as we see the way that you've moved mountains so that we could be in a right relationship with you based on the death of your son, Jesus Christ, I pray that you would help us to live in that victory day to day. I thank you, and it's with a heart of gratitude this morning as we prepare for Thanksgiving that we say thank you, but I pray that we would consider the best thanks that we can give, and that's with devoting our lives to your service. In Jesus' name, amen.